I think it's kind of a good trait to have as quarterback, and it shows the team that you're willing to go above and beyond to win a football game. And that's all I really want to do. And like you said, I try to have as much fun as possible. And a lot of guys call me just a big ass 13-year-old in a big man's body, but I don't take offense to that at all. I love having fun. I love joking around with the guys. There's not one other occupation in the world that I'd rather be doing than this right now, so I'm gonna enjoy it while I do it.
Welcome to the next episode of What's Next with Eric Wood. Our next guest is someone I've wanted to have on the podcast for a while now, and that's the current starting quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. Josh was drafted by the Bills in 2018 with the 7th overall pick, making him the highest drafted quarterback in Bills history. That's high expectations for a guy who only received one scholarship offer out of high school, similar to yours truly. Josh would work his way up from the JUCO ranks to play college football at the University of Wyoming, where he'd earn his reputation as a gunslinger. That gunslinger has now spent 2 seasons under center in Buffalo and has already set franchise records in rushing yards and touchdowns by a quarterback in a single season. Today on the show, Josh and I get into several different topics, including how the transition into the NFL was for him, his thoughts on the new additions at receiver for the Bills, what he wants to improve on personally in 2020, and much more. Josh has such a bright future in the NFL and is one of the young stars of the game. After this episode, you will appreciate how incredibly likable Josh is. At the Masters in 2018, I got the chance to meet Josh prior to the draft, and after spending the weekend with him, I knew that if the Bills drafted him, there would be a little bit inside of me that would really miss the opportunity to pour into a young quarterback like himself, to play center in front of him, to mentor him, have a guy that my kids could be around, and when I moved on from the game, that I would still have a relationship with. And I've gotten to know Josh really well. But man, I would have loved to play center for a guy like Josh Allen. He's just so competitive and tough and plays with his heart out every single game. We recently got a review from RJ Buffalo. He says, "Surely his leadership skills will translate well and insight into pro football experience. Also waiting on episode on the first Saturday in May." Well, RJ, your wish may be coming true next week. A little teaser, next week we are going to have some Derby Prep episodes. Finally, remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It really does go a long way in helping us produce great content for you. Now, enjoy the show. This episode has been brought to you by Jordan Yoakum at Tom James Company. Jordan is my clothing guy, and I get everything from him, from custom suits and dress clothes to casual wear. Let Jordan do the shopping for you to save you precious time that could be focused on your family, career, or hobbies. Jordan can work virtually with anyone in the world, and if he cannot personally get your measurements himself, he will have someone come get them for him. If you have put on the quarantine 15 like many have and your clothes aren't fitting properly anymore, he can also make adjustments to the clothing you already have. There's a certain confidence that comes with having clothes that fit perfect, and let Jordan give you that confidence. You can contact him by email at jordan.yoakum@tomjames.com or visit his website louisvillecustomclothing.com. Contact info will be in the show notes.
Hey Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, E. Good to see you.
Absolutely. We're going to do a briefer dive to your journey to this point of your NFL career. Sometimes we'll go super in-depth, but this is training camp time. I'm trying to be really sensitive of what type of time crunch you're on and truly appreciate your time here. But as a 6'5", 240-pound athlete now, you had to grow up as a pretty solid multi-sport athlete, right?
Yeah, actually, I did everything as a kid. You know, my father liked to say idle hands make for the devil's work. So we were in swimming, karate. I did gymnastics for a time or two. Baseball, basketball, football. I played a little bit of soccer growing up. So, I mean, anything that really had a ball or any type of physical activity, we were thrown into it. And my dad was a huge part of that. My mom was too, but my dad was the president of our baseball club, of our swim team. He coached on multiple teams that we had. So it was an honor, a privilege, obviously, to have your dad be able to go out there and do that and kind of coach everybody, but at the same time coach you. It meant a lot to me as a kid. But I definitely think playing all those sports, it allowed me to, one, kind of develop hand-eye coordination and the athletic skills that I have now. Two, it allowed me to be around different types of people, different types of mindsets, and be able to lead from different types of areas, because every sport's a little different. You have to kind of learn. Obviously, baseball is a little bit of a more patient sport, and it's not a high intensity, but basketball's go, 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 up and down the court as fast as you can. I think football's kind of a mix. So it allowed me to kind of develop these leadership skills, if you will. But, you know, even going back when I was a kid, being in my town, it was such a small school that, you know, the guys that you played with at T-ball is the guys that you played with in high school. So it was really cool. Really cool feeling, yeah.
That's awesome. And I love hearing you talk about your dad. I actually start my first Little League coaching experience this weekend. I'm helping out with a 5-year-old girls soccer team. So I didn't even get the head coaching job. So humble starts there, similar to my humble starts in my media journey as well, but it's all good. But I loved you talk about all that. And so you end up finishing your college career at Wyoming, and then your rookie year, you're thrust into the starting quarterback position. How tough of a transition is that, going from your 21 years old at the time and you're playing at Wyoming, coming right out of Wyoming, and then thrust into the starting lineup?
You know, it was quite a bit of an adjustment, just as far as the eyes and the focus and the attention to detail that everybody kind of puts on you. Obviously, Wyoming's a smaller town. It's only a 4-year university in the state, but even that, like, we didn't play the Alabamas and the LSUs and all the bigger time schools. We'd get one or two a year, but just coming here and just knowing that this is like the real deal, and now I'm one of the faces of the franchise, because I was, you know, drafted at number 7. It was an adjustment for sure, but it's everything that I wanted since I was a little kid, was being put in this position to be an NFL quarterback. And I knew at the same time that it came with the territory, that I couldn't be mad at this bed, because I made the bed, you know, and I got to lay in it. So the pressure, this, that, the outside perception, that really doesn't bother me too much. I just want to play the game that I love with the teammates that I love, and have fun doing it.
Well, that shows when you play, because you put your body on the line. And it's funny, we'll talk before games, especially preseason games. I'll say, Josh, no shots. And then I heard, no, don't take any shots today to your body. And then I heard you on a podcast recently, or an interview, talk about how you like to take one shot at the beginning of the game, kind of get your flow. We'll get you out of that at some point. But you can tell how much fun you have out there and how much you love competing with your teammates by the way you play.
Yeah, and that's something I take a lot of pride in. I'm an ultra-competitive dude, that whether it's Catan, the card game that we play often here, I want to win, you know. If it's on the football field, I definitely want to win. So I think it's kind of a good trait to have as a quarterback, and it shows the team that you're willing to go above and beyond to win a football game. And that's all I really want to do. And like you said, like I try to have as much fun as possible, and a lot of guys call me just a big-ass 13-year-old in a big man's body. But, you know, I don't take offense to that at all. I love having fun. I love joking around with the guys. There's not one other occupation in the world that I'd rather be doing than this right now. So I'm going to enjoy it while I do it.
Hey, now you got a beard, so you don't look nearly as much like a 13-year-old. And I will say, one of my regrets as I look back on my career is that I didn't enjoy it. I didn't have enough fun early in my career. There was, you know, I was a first-round pick as well, but I got hurt all four of my first year. So there was all this internal pressure I put on myself, probably not even external, probably all internal, like, man, am I going to be a bust, this and that. And just enjoy the ride, because it's so much fun, and it's such a blessing to be in the NFL. And you've worked with Jordan Palmer in the offseason since pre-draft, and you're still working with him. What aspects of your game did you specifically work with him this past offseason on?
One, this past offseason, the deep ball. I think everybody kind of knows about that. So we definitely worked on that, just different types of trajectories, different types of motions that I can start incorporating, and a different kind of mindset. So I think it's been extremely helpful, even in the first few days here at training camp. It's coming out. It's spinning off the hand. It's feeling really good. It's going exactly where I want it to. And I can honestly say I've never thrown the ball this good in my life. So it's definitely good to see when you're working so hard and things are starting to pay off. But at the same time, I know there's a lot more room to improve. So I'm going to keep chipping away at it. And with the help of Dorsey here and Coach Stable and trying to understand defenses better and knowing our own scheme and what can hurt them. That's kind of the second piece that we've been working on. And again, that takes some time, but you know, I can't wait to get on the football field.
Well, your teammates have noticed, and I listened to a Cole Beasley interview from yesterday, and he was talking about how you're throwing guys open better than you were last year, throwing and playing with more confidence. So it's starting to show with the guys. Are there certain quarterbacks around the NFL that you like to watch, either current or past guys, that you like to watch on film to learn from?
Well, yeah, I mean, one was in our league our division for quite some time, and Tom, just the way that he's been able to do it so consistently, like his mechanics are so good. That's something that he pays quite a bit of attention to. On the deep ball, I think Russell Wilson has had a large impact on what I've been watching. He throws a beautiful deep ball and allows his guys to make some plays. And then Aaron Rodgers and just the way that he can do some off-platform stuff and some of his footwork as he's releasing the ball. It's been interesting to see to kind of take what he's been doing and throw it on mine. And it's really cool when you can kind of go out there and do it consistently and confidently. And good thing, like I said, good things are coming when you are working so hard on them. So I guess it's three pretty good guys to kind of pick some things from and go on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason I asked that is because I did the same thing throughout my career, and you need to be the best Josh Allen. Like, you don't need to be Tom Brady. You have different skill sets, but if you can steal a little bit from his mechanics, that's so healthy for especially young players to do in the league as they're developing. With so many starters returning this year from a playoff team from a year ago, how happy are you that the NFL is in the position it's in right now where they've taken the measures where you guys can be in training camp?
Yeah, I'm super pumped that we're in training camp, and obviously I wish that this stuff was cleared up and we can kind of go through our normal OTAs and normal training camp reps, because you do miss a lot of time just developing the chemistry with some of the guys. You miss the OT time where you can tool around and try to tweak different things, keep your eyes in this spot. But now it's like we got a game in 24 days or whatever it is that we've got to be on cue. Like, I can't really mess around with trying to put my eyes in one spot and throw it to this guy. Like, I got to treat every rep like it's a game rep. So, but at the same time, it's expediting the whole process and making things quicker. And even the defensive side of the ball, they're moving a lot faster right now. So the one thing I do know is going against our defense is only going to make me better.
Absolutely. Phenomenal defense on the other side of the football to go against every day. You heard it here first, listeners. Josh Allen's got the no-look pass coming in this year. Bunch of no-looks coming. But how beneficial – so you mentioned missing OTAs. You got together with the guys a couple months ago to throw. How beneficial was that to get a little bit of that chemistry back before the start of training camp?
It was great. And not even the fact that we were on the field. We were on the field for 3 days, and we got a lot of great work in. But to spend time with the guys that really hadn't seen each other in – 4 or 5 months. Last time we saw each other was that Houston game, and to get around our guys and get around Steph in an environment where the world is kind of falling apart, if you will. It was just relaxing just to be around the boys again, play some card games, go out to eat with each other, and just spend quality time around each other. And I'm a firm believer in being off the field. If you're closer off the field, it's going to help you on the field. And I think we definitely grew a lot closer.
Yeah, no doubt. Those early 90s Bills teams are a great testament to that. Those guys are still close to this day. Mm-hmm. But they all ran together off the field, and it showed up with a bunch of wins. And you mentioned Diggs and him being out there for that. And the Bills gave up a lot for him. Brandon Bean holds tight to his draft picks, and he gave up a first-rounder for him. What have you seen so far from him and then the other two guys drafted as well, Davis and Hodgins?
Man, I'll tell you right now, one, Davis and Hodgins, they've been in their playbook. They understand the offensive scheme here really well. They've been really good for us, and they're only going to continue to get better. They've got some work to do, but as far as taking coaching from Chad and John and Cole and Steph, they've been fantastic about it. And then obviously, like you said, bringing in a guy like Steph who can create a lot of separation, who gets open, can do a lot of different things. He's blown me away just in the form of how he communicates with me, the things that he sees and how he's able to relay them off the field and then go out and do it. And one, he's a freaky athlete. He's a special receiver for sure. And I'm super glad he's on our team.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And one of the things teams were doing, especially later in the year, mid-season on, was play press across the board, bring a bunch of pressure and say, hey, we're just going to gamble that our corners can hold up for a second and a half before that extra rusher gets there. You had a Stephon Diggs, and now you have three guys on the outside that can just flat out separate. That is dangerous for a defense to do to you. And so I know why Bean throws the first rounder out there for Diggs, because that's an element that it's maybe a 50-50 shot. If you go draft a guy, if he can do that, well, you've seen Diggs do it for a number of years. So that's awesome. What are you telling the young guys as a leader of the team now, the quarterback of the team, what are you telling some of the young guys now about the sacrifices? And I'm sure McDermott's addressing this as well, but some of the sacrifices you need to make for probably the next 4 months socially so that you guys can have a special season.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that our locker room, the leadership that we have, we've been very on cue. We've been holding each other accountable. And I think even from top to bottom, we know what we're willing to give up in order to what we're going to achieve. And that's kind of the mindset. And guys aren't going out and doing all this stuff. One, because we're in Buffalo, there's not a whole lot of distractions that can take you away from that. But we've got a very motivated group that's wanting to win football games and a lot of football games to that. So, but again, it starts at the top from Terry and Kim, and they've done a great job with making sure the facilities are able to be useful for us. And, you know, the training staff, the strength staff, I mean, it's been A1 from the day we got here. So I want to thank them and everybody in the building that's making this possible for us, because it's been smooth sailing so far. And again, we don't know when we're going to hit hiccups or bumps in the road, but we know that it's probably going to happen at some point during the season. So we have to be ready and be prepared, and we'll adjust and overcome that when it gets to the road there.
Yeah, I love you mentioning all the support staff, because it's funny, they don't get nearly as much credit as they should for allowing all of us to do their job, all the way from the ticket operations to LY, you know, helping you get travel arrangements, whatever it may be. The Bills have done such a phenomenal job with their support staff, and they probably don't get enough credit. I love you giving them a shout out there. One interesting aspect for me this season, obviously there's going to be no fans or limited fans in the stands, and that's fine. For being a former center, that allows the cadence to probably go on without the silent cadence all year. And the silent cadence isn't anything you guys struggled with last year. Your road record was fine. It was good last year. But this year, if they don't cut the TV copies off, like right before the cadence, all calls are going to be out there. You know, do you anticipate more dummy calls or more switching calls up week to week to make sure the defense doesn't get a beat on it?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to depend on what team you're on, the type of system that they use. I'm sure a lot of teams are going to be able to switch what they're saying, but a lot of teams are going to have to use a bunch of dummy cadences too. So it's definitely going to be something that we're going to have to tinkle with here or there and tweak. And it's going to be a learning curve for sure, because we do a lot at the line of scrimmage, and that's not going to change. But again, the communication that we're going to be able to have, especially when we're on the road, it's going to be so much clearer, so much better, and you're knowing what you're going to do. It's going to be more concise. So it definitely hurts our defense when we're at home and it's third down and 13 and they can talk and have all this time to calm down and chill and call the right play. So, again, it'll just be kind of an adjustment as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Bills lose a lot from that aspect. Other teams do as well with the crowd noise, but it's something you got to deal with. And just from having been there around McDermott, I know he's preaching, you know, you can't worry about that. Control what you can control. Let me know if you need any help with new vocabulary, new terminology, because I have a feeling at some point this year, you and Dayball are going to be banging your heads against the wall thinking, what can we call this play at this point?
We'll be reaching out to you.
Yeah, exactly. Quickly, do you have any individual goals for this 2020 season?
I mean, I obviously want to complete the ball at a higher percentage. I think that, I mean, it's a known stat. When I complete the ball at 60%, I don't think we lost a game last year when I did that. So, and that's really the mark. Again, I'm not going to try to play scared or be captain check down or whatever the case may be. I'm still going to go through my reads, but I think my mindset's just a little different this year as far as when to get to the check down and when to throw it to the outside receivers, when to tuck it and run. So, again, it's without preseason though, it's going to be an adjustment, and game one's going to come fast, and it's going to be the first time I get hit and all these things. So we got to prepare every day like it's game day, and I'm going against our defense. I got to take these reps as seriously as I can, and I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, there inevitably in the preseason every year, something super embarrassing would happen to me, and I would think, man, thank God that wasn't in a regular game. And it would be like I'd wear nubbies out there during a game, and I'd slip and fall or something goofy. And you hate the preseason games, but you're glad they're there when something like that happens. You know, everyone's going to be in the same boat this year. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And not that it matters, but a lot of talks were made about it. You and Patrick Mahomes, everyone thinks you guys have the two strongest arms in the league. I'm assuming you think you could throw farther.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to assume the same thing. And, again, from what I've heard around the league, he's a super competitive guy as well. And, I mean, he's got an unbelievable rap sheet and unbelievable NFL career up to this point. And, you know, I wish him all the success, and except when he's playing the Bills, of course. But he's been unbelievable. He's been super fun to watch. I've been able to steal a couple things from him here or there. And, even like when we brought Mitch Morris over here, and the things that he would say about him, I mean, he's nothing but a great guy, and he does a lot of charity work. So again, hats off to Patrick, what he's been able to accomplish. But I don't know. We'll have to figure it out sometime this next offseason and kind of settle this debate.
Are there any other quarterbacks in the league that you think could compete with the two of you guys?
I still think Aaron's got it. Rodgers is still up there.
He can flick it. He can flick it and not even try. I mean, I'd love to see him rear back and get one.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, I think his arm talent is super ridiculous. I think Russell's up there. Trying to think. I think those would be my top four.
Yeah, definitely. That's about where I'd go, too.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. Can you throw a ball out of the Bills Stadium after a touchdown?
I think I can. And I didn't do it last year. I tried. I got close. I was probably about four or five rows away. But in fairness, I threw it from the wrong side. I wanted to do it on the other side. And I threw it probably with about 10 yards to spare. I was caught up in the moment and just let it chuck and didn't get it out. But I still think I can. We'll see.
I think so, too.
Get fined this year if I'm not putting any fans in harm's way. So it might have
to. Wow, that's why you guys get fined for that?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It would literally make a fan's day to get a ball in the stands and they find you because you're putting them in harm's way.
Yep.
That's funny. Well, Josh, at some point I'm going to get you back on the podcast. We're going to do a deeper dive into your journey. We're going to get you to go through all the recurring questions at the end. But like I said, I'll be sensitive to your time. Let me thank you right now for all that you've done at Oshii Children's Hospital. My foundation turned into a fund under that hospital, and they do phenomenal work in the community. And I just want to personally thank you publicly on here because the impact you make off the field, you gave Patrick Mahomes credit, so I'll give you some credit because you're not going to sit here and brag on yourself. But I just want to thank you for all you do for the community of Buffalo.
Well, thank you, E, and same goes to you. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. Good luck. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You have a good one.
Brain MD is Dr. Amen's supplement line, who is a former podcast guest of mine. Dr. Amen is regarded as one of the top, if not the top, brain experts in the entire world, and I've been taking his supplements for a little over a year now and have never felt better. I wish I had these while I was playing. I recommend the Eric Wood Bundle to all current and former contact sport athletes at any level, as well as anyone out there looking to support their brain and increase brain function. The supplements I take daily are Brain and Body Power Max, Neuro-C, Vitamin D3, and Brain Curcumins. For more info on each of these supplements, check out my post on Instagram and I explain them all. My handle is ewood70. Go to brainmd.com and use code ERICWOOD, one word, to get 5% off your order. Thank you for listening to What's Next with Eric Wood. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please rate it 5 stars and subscribe. That goes a long way for us with this podcast. Tune in a couple weeks for another new episode.